Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 306. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
What's up, everybody?
And Holly Felmuth.
Hey, guys.
On tonight's show, we have our standard three-part structure. We're going to start off with what we've been playing, move on to the Nintendo News April Fool's Edition, and finally finish on a community comment section. To start off what we've been playing, because it's been a while, I, for fault of my own, missed the first section, or the first segment of the last episode, and I was away the episode before. I thought I would kick off what we've been playing this week. And my tales of what I've been playing actually go back from the week before. I was off on my honeymoon, and anytime you need to take an airplane journey, or at least it is for me, I have this nice ritual of kind of planning, the portable system and like what game you're going to play, and like you'll not play it in advance, so you know you're going to have something decent to play on the airplane there and back, or and so on and so forth. And what I ended up with this time is pulling out an old classic, which was a Picross 3D. I realized when I kind of got the game out on the plane and I started playing it, one that, despite my love for this game, I didn't actually get very far in it. So my love must have just come from the series as a whole, because I played, or at least I believe I played, quite a lot of the Picross game which came before it, the non-3D version. The next thing I realised after the fact that I've found out that I hadn't really got very far in it was that I needed some sort of crash course in remembering how to actually conquer these levels. Obviously, I know what the numbers mean, and I knew what the symbols meant around those numbers, but for some reason, my brain just wasn't working in the way it used to, and I wasn't churning out these puzzles, and I had to go back to some earlier ones and kind of build my way back up again. But Picross 3D is a fantastic game, and it's odd that we haven't seen another rendition of the 3D version. We've seen some more of the 2D versions come out on the 3DS eShop, but the 3D version, where you can rotate the levels, as it were, have been mysteriously absent. So hopefully we'll see some more of that, but until then, I have many, many, many puzzles to still go through on my DS cartridge of Picross 3D. The other game I was playing is continuing to play the final Professor Layton game. Because of the nature of the game, I don't have a huge amount to add to my comments from last time. The game is just as good, but what I did realise was what seems to be the kind of the overall goal of the game actually seems to be like just a relatively small chunk, because the story you're presented with at the beginning, and don't worry, none of this is in spoiler territory, is that...
I'll
explain why afterwards. But the initial idea at the beginning of the game is you're travelling around the world and you need to find these Azran eggs. And there's four of them. And I thought, you know, the structure of the game is you're going to find those four. And then there's going to be like something big which happens, and there's going to be a thing to do there, whether it's quite big or not. And that will be the game. And I just realised, just out of pure coincidence, I could have spotted this within the first hour of playing, apparently, is on the pause screen, there's a couple of slots, kind of like you would in like your Legend of Zelda Infantry, and just one of those slots is dedicated to those eggs themselves, and it has a number counter. Whereas before, I was expecting the slots themselves to fill up with the eggs separately. So apparently, after you've gone around the world and collected all four of these, there's a whole bunch of other things you've got to do afterwards, and not just the one thing itself. So if that is how the game's going to play out, this game's going to be absolutely massive, which would be a fitting finale for Professor Layton. And this game is a real pleasure to play through, and I do like to play this game in real small chunks. It's this perfect sort of game to just play. I like to just play it for, you know, quarter of an hour, 20 minutes before I go to bed, as it were. And with the soothing sounds of the puzzle music and just, you know, there's, you know, it's just nice, delightful atmosphere, really. It's kind of the perfect game for that. I haven't been playing a huge amount this week because I've been quite occupied with more so creating games and playing them with so much. But before we go into any of that sort of stuff, I will now hand the microphone over to Holly, who can talk about what she's been playing.
Well, I haven't been playing much in terms of new stuff. I've been playing more of The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, HD, of course. Actually, I recently wanted to kind of see the comparison between the two versions, like the original Wind Waker and the HD version. And so I recently actually hooked up my GameCube to the TV and was just switching inputs. And it turned out I was in my GameCube quest, which I never finished, I was kind of in the same place on the HD remake as I
when
was.
When you decided to check.
Yes.
This sounds like a very good little thing to actually do as far as videos. Like, let's see which one I can finish faster. Or just like, yes, I'm going to be playing the GameCube and the Wind Waker HD version at the same time. Switch back and forth.
I've thought about doing that, but I just quickly made the visual comparison, and I probably won't go back to the GameCube one anytime soon. But the comparison, it was, you know, favorable for the HD remake, of course. The HD version looks a lot better. But it struck me, looking back at the GameCube game, like right after I had just been playing the HD version, it struck me that of all the games that deserve an HD remake, I don't think The Wind Waker was one of those. I mean, it looks great in HD and all, but the visuals are just so striking and so unique the way that they are that I just don't think an HD remake was all that necessary, particularly for this game.
And yeah, I know exactly what you're saying with that. I think definitely out of all the 3D Zelda games, the GameCube Wind Waker has aged the best. So if you were in theory to choose to remake any of them in HD graphics, then you would choose, you know, anything but Wind Waker in theory.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Twilight Princess would have been a good HD remake, and I love Twilight Princess. It's one of my favorite games of all time, probably.
No, I agree. I think that game would really benefit purely from, you know, upping the resolution. You wouldn't even have, they wouldn't have to do much work in terms of increasing the textures or anything. I think it was they were just trying to do a bit too much, and it looks a bit fuzzy in times and a bit blurry.
Well, that's what happens when you actually get a game like that. Where, I mean, one thing I feel like that a lot of games out there get, you know, the distinction of being very pretty is the benefit of bloom lighting, which, you know, Twilight Princess had a lot of.
So yeah, I think that unfortunately, the reason they chose Wind Waker as a purely business and strategic move was it would have been the quickest one to turn around because it was the one which had aged the best. They had the least work to do to bring it up to the standards of HD. So they managed to do that in 6 months. And I think if they had to do Twilight Princess, it would have been at least a year, maybe even a bit more, to make it really look like a true modern game, whereas again, Wind Waker aged so well in the first place. They only had to polish it up in bits and here and there to bring it up to that high standard.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice, too, that, I mean, because it's extremely difficult. I mean, if you want to get a hold of a brand new copy of the original GameCube Wind Waker, that would probably be pretty pricey. My copy, the copy of it that I got used because that was really the only budget conscious way to go for that one. And so it's nice that you know, a newer generation of gamers is able to get a hold of such a great game a little easier now, so that's good. But as far as the actual game goes, if you follow me on Miiverse, or if you guys even look at Miiverse anymore, you will see that I am kind of having trouble on the game just a little bit. I don't know. I think this comes kind of from, you know, having finished at the end of last year A Link Between Worlds, and then I decided to pick up Skyward Sword for a little bit recently, and those two games I just think are phenomenal. The you know, the level design, the overworld is one big thing that I think they kind of do a little better than the Wind Waker, for example. But I guess just playing those games, I don't know, it's hard for Wind Waker to just impress me because of those games having, you know, been fresh in my mind. But I'm getting a little better at not getting so frustrated. And so the game is definitely picking up. I really love the music, and some of the story elements are actually really entertaining as well. And so it's a good game, a lot of fun. And that's, you know, basically all I've got to say on The Wind Waker. I haven't been playing anything brand new.
Before we move on, whereabouts actually are you currently in the game?
Okay, let me think. I was just playing it earlier, so I should know this right off, but...
In the middle of the sea.
Probably. I feel like I haven't been to a proper dungeon in a long time. Oh, but I just entered a new proper dungeon, I guess. The Earth Temple. I'm right at the beginning of the Earth Temple.
Oh, okay.
So, and gosh, I don't even remember what the last, you know, big dungeon I had was. I was just kind of wandering around the ocean for a while. Had to ask people for help to figure out, you know, certain things. How to get the Ballad of Gales or something like that. That song. Which I did, and, you know, everything's going fine now. I'm actually in a dungeon, which I'm really happy about. I'm excited to start the Earth Dungeon, or Earth Temple, whatever that one's called. And, yeah, it's about where I am.
That's a game that I kind of, I mean, I've said this many times before, it was a game that I wish it would have benefited a little bit more with an extra dungeon or two. Because after, I think it's like the initial, because it doesn't go in the similar, like, three dungeon structure that you see in beginning of most Zelda games, and then it's like the second half of the game that comes into effect where you see a little bit more dungeon. This one, even after I think like the second dungeon, you just, it's, what is it, like the pearl, like, you know, the Feru and Din and like Nehru is like the pearls that you have to get of these like items to end up going into like, you know, the hidden portion of Hyrule, like underwater, is that I think one of them is just given to you. So it's like, oh, I didn't have to go through a dungeon to do that. So, I mean, that was, again, it's small things I get disappointed with it because, you know, length is one thing I like in a game where it's kind of like, you know, I don't like it where it's too long, but I don't like it where it's too short. I like that middle ground to it. And just Wind Waker kind of fell short on the latter part of that.
Yeah, I did think it was an odd decision to still have, like, the three stones represented, even if they didn't have the three dungeons. Because they did confirm afterwards that there was dungeons that they had, or they didn't have time to put into the game. But I think at that point they should just change the story. Just make it so it's two stones. People aren't going to freak out. But it just, exactly what you said, when you get to the third one and it's just given to you, it just kind of makes the absence of a dungeon in its place just the more obvious. Whereas, you know, if it just sent you off to your next piece, you know, your just next bit of the journey, and it was just a smaller game, I think that would have been absolutely fine.
Well, I think that that first visit to the Forsaken Fortress, I think that is kind of considered a dungeon, and so that could be the third one in the sequence. But, you know, it's not really, I don't know, it's not correlated with that last pearl. So, again, it does kind of feel like, oh, I was gypped a whole dungeon there.
Yeah, no, it just seemed weird, because I honestly think, yeah, some games can be improved by just chopping things off. And it seems bizarre that Nintendo's seemingly so set in their ways about the about a Zelda formula and that you must do three things and this event happens and you do these things. That even if they can't, like, honour that and do the amount of dungeons that requires, they still, you know, stick to their guns and make that the story. But I'm not entirely sure why I'm reminiscent to opinion, because I absolutely do love The Wind Waker, despite only finishing it on the Wii U version. Do any of us have anything else to say on The Wind Waker?
The only thing I have to say is that if you haven't picked it up, please do, if you have a Wii U. I mean, you're missing out on, especially the first time if you missed it on the GameCube.
So yeah, I know we have talked about this one before. So, Holly, in addition to the graphics, do you notice there's any, like, other improvements, Not so much that, obviously, on a technical level, we know there are things they have added, but anything which is really benefiting your experience, things they have added onto this game, or do you think it pretty much feels the same?
Well, being able to look at the gamepad for a lot of things has been really useful. You know, you can, just like in Skyward Sword, which I think Skyward Sword kind of introduced this idea to Zelda, the idea of equipping your weapons on the go. You can actually do that in Wind Waker thanks to the gamepad, which I really like. There's also a map that you can access on the gamepad so that you don't have to press start or, you know, do anything except just look down if you want to see the map, and so that's really nice as well. The gyro controls that the gamepad makes possible, they're all right. For some reason, I prefer the gyro controls in Ocarina of Time 3D as opposed to this game. I don't know why. It's probably just because...
Not alone, so do I. I'm not sure either why, but they feel more right.
Yeah. I think it's because, you know, you have your gamepad just kind of on your lap and you just... I don't know. Your hands are just nice and relaxed holding the gamepad on your lap, and so when you have to use gyro controls, you're just like, eh, just kind of wiggling it down there. Whereas with the 3DS, you're like more able to move it around, more willing to move it around, I guess.
I think that makes sense, because when you're playing on the 3DS, you're obviously looking into the same thing you're moving, so it's also your viewfinder.
Yeah.
When you are turning it to the left, you are still looking at it. But now, yeah, I agree. When it's with the gamepad, you are just kind of, you know, wiggling it below the TV, and you're not really looking at it, and it just doesn't quite click the same.
Yeah.
But I think I still find myself using it. It seemed to be good for, you know, certain quick movements. I think with the hook shot, it was quite useful on occasion for just lining up certain shots.
Yeah, it certainly is more convenient to me anyway than using the analog stick. So, you know, it's a welcome improvement, just not quite on the level of the 3DS.
Still room for improvement. Okay, was there anything or any other games that you've been playing recently?
Basically just Monster Hunter. And I guess maybe you're trying to get me to say this, but just before the show, I was brushing up on my block drop use skills. And that game, I don't know, the more I play it, the more I really enjoy it. Just tapping those blocks, seeing what happens when I try, you know, destroying different ones. And I don't know. That game's a lot of fun, and I can't wait for the downloadable content to arrive.
See, I'm quite jealous here because I can't download that game. It's not available in the European shop yet. But the good news is that it will be shortly, I believe is the word.
Huh.
So I'm looking forward to being able to download that.
You should be.
Okay, and I think that wraps up what we've been playing. We'll now move on to the Nintendo News April Fool's Edition. And so as of the time of recording, it is in fact April the 1st. April Fool's Day traditions, and there has been, like there usually is, a lot of gaming-related April Fool's jokes. And some of those have also affected Nintendo, or have been about Nintendo.
To add, I will say to everybody else, Infendo has not been bought by Facebook. I trust you not right now. It has not, even though we kind of wish that. We would like that Facebook money, but no, it has not.
Yeah, the $2 billion was very tempting. It would have bought a very vast collection of Nintendo games to play through, but we are keeping our integrity here at Infendo. But beyond that, well, we had a mysterious new Smash Bros. Appearance from Nintendo Power's, what we call him, a mascot, Nesta. First of all, did anyone see these screenshots?
Well, I looked at them before the show. Kind of creepy, good. Actually.
I fell for it for maybe 2 seconds until I realized, wait a minute. I really do. I mean, when I initially, a friend of mine posted on Twitter and is like, "Oh, Nestor joins the Smash Brothers cat like roster," and I'm like, "What?" It's like, wait. It, my mind had to like double back on myself, thinking like, "No, don't you realize today is?" And I looked at it and I was like, "Okay, this is quite obvious. This was a joke." And in the process, I kind of was a little mad at myself. I'm like, "You know what, Sakurai? I hope you see this right now and you kind of consider it."
Yeah, no, it was pretty cool, but unfortunately, the joke was kind of lost on me because, not being a Nintendo Power kid, I was not really familiar with Nesta in general. So, I had to do the research in the first place. There was also a not so big, but I did spot another April Fool's Smash Bros. Joke, as it were, going along Twitter, which was the reveal of Ridley. Someone was posting these photoshopped screenshots of a Miiverse announcement from Sakurai. And it was really nicely done because it was a two-part announcement, and the first bit was saying Ridley is in Smash Bros. And having a picture of Ridley on the stage. And then the second bit was saying about him being the stage hazard. So that was very nicely done. Unless I'm corrected, but it's been very good because I did have to double check to make sure that wasn't in fact real. But I haven't seen it on my Miiverse, so I'm pretty sure that's April Fool's as well. Despite Sakurai then on the second screenshot saying he's just a stage hazard.
I just want Ridley in this game so bad. I would be at ease, and because the Metroid series is just, as far as the representing the roster, it's one of those franchises that needs a second character. And the main reason some will say, Ridley wouldn't fit, it'd be too big. I'm like, well, look back to the original opening cinematic of Super Smash Bros. Melee when you see Ridley in there. He could easily fit on there, and plus size is not really a problem for, large characters like that. I mean, look at Bowser, for instance. I mean, how many other iterations of Bowser we've seen in Mario games where he's either just a large character, but in practical size to kind of like Mario or whatever, but, in the same area, and then he's just a giant, for instance, say, in Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah, and I think a good example is purely also just the small characters, because you have characters like Olimar and the Pikmin represented, but if we were being so accurate or realistic about the size representations, then you wouldn't even be able to see them on the stages. Yet they're kind of like the height of Kirby. And even Kirby himself, I believe he's only meant to be, was it like a couple of inches, a couple of centimeters or something really tiny? But obviously he's a large character in Smash as well, in comparison to that height. I don't think size is really a matter in Smash Bros. If they wanted Ridley in, or if Sakurai wanted Ridley in, I think he would put him in and make him size appropriate to the other fighters.
It's, but then, I don't know, if they don't go with Ridley, I mean, who else could they go with?
Well, that's where we go into dangerous territory, because the Metroid character it's not so expansive if we're not talking about the enemy creatures.
Well, you could go with Dark Samus, maybe.
True, but that almost seems a bit that's like
a clone or something.
Well, yeah, but it actually is at that point, but...
No, you could probably change the moveset for that, whatever, for a character like that, where it's just all based on Phazon.
This is true. But yeah, it seems that most of the arguably better characters in the Metroid universe, which aren't... Well, I guess they are enemies as well, are kind of some sort of clones of Samus. So, yeah, I'll just be afraid of them getting too attached to any of the characters introduced in Ever End.
I was about to say, you wouldn't be opposed to Anthony Higgs in Other M? All right,
that,
Smash Brothers.
To be fair, that's quite a Sakurai move. That would also be quite good for a reveal early on today. Yeah, I think that would have got the audience in a stir,
yeah,
as it were.
Just put a Metroid in there. I'm sure it'd be fun to control.
Actually, that's not a bad shout. I reckon he could get a Metroid working. He got Mr. Game & Watch working and Rob the Robot, so I'm sure he can work wonders with a Metroid.
Just, yeah, the thing would just be floating the whole time, and I'd be thinking, this would be a little awkward controlling.
Yeah, that's true. But you could attach yourself to enemies, like a headcrab. And that could be fun. And you can just mash on the button to drain their health.
And then he'll be banned, then the character will be banned in future Smash Bros. Tournaments.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on from the Smash Bros. April Fool's news, this one isn't terribly Nintendo related, but I've added it here because I just thought it was a particularly good April Fool's joke, which was Phil Fish, the developer of Fez, went to his official Twitter account, which he hasn't touched in some time. He announced that he was back and he's working on Fez 2. And purely from the fact that of the background about that game, I thought that was a fantastic April Fool's, just because it's just him behind it. And he's, I'm not sure who he's trolling at that point, if he's just trolling himself or if he's just trolling everybody. But I thought that was really fun for him just to jump on Twitter to say he's bringing back Fez 2 on April Fool's, as it were.
It's these teases, like, when this day comes around each year, I'm just like, you know, the obvious thing is, like, don't trust anything that's on the internet that day. It doesn't matter. I mean, the only thing you could probably trust is from, like, major news networks. Other than that, just when it comes to gaming sites, it's like, what was it, like, even there's little news out there that I can't stand. Like, for instance, was like, Tiger Woods said he's not going to be playing at the Masters, and I said, like, oh, that's very funny, guys. It's very funny. He's like, no, it's true. I'm like, oh, you guys are being for reals, but I digress. And with this one, it's just like, yeah, it's automatic trolling on there, and yes, we have another bit of trolling, it seems like, coming on later to these other fool's jokes, but I don't know. I think the best form of trolling when it comes to anything on there is the usual Half-Life 3 announcements on here. I'm just like, I know it's not coming as per se this year, but I know it's gonna exist some point in the future.
Yeah, ironically, that game just kind of exists now on April the 1st for its entirety. I mean, depending on how long that game, you know, doesn't come out, there might be enough April 1sts to just kind of build enough of like little bits of the game that we would eventually have Half-Life 3 itself in a weird meta universe. But in terms of, yeah, on the conversation of trolling, we have the ultimate example here, which was Frostbite's official Twitter account basically poking fun at both the Wii U and Nintendo itself.
This was bad. This is a joke that just backfired entirely.
Harrison, do you happen to have that webpage?
Yes, I actually do. I have the tweets on here that have been since deleted.
Yeah, would you be able to read some of these out?
Oh, boy. These are doozies. These are doozies. I don't know which in order of posting they are, but I'll read them all. There's three in total. First tweet from, I'm just reading these right now, and I'm just thinking, like, oh, God. First tweet from Frostbite. Frostbite now runs in the Wii U since it's the most powerful Gen 4 platform. Our renderer is now optimized for Mario and Zelda. Okay. The next one. Frostbite will power Half-Life 3 coming out summer 2014. Wii U exclusive. God. Next one. Good news, we finally fixed and optimized our netcode. Uses quantum entanglement for zero latency connections, exclusively on Wii U. Jeez.
I'm not sure I've been caught that one the first time.
Jeez, Frostbite. I mean, there's a good thing to be a joke, but that's just like, good God, that's bad.
Yeah, no, especially just out of all the... I just remember when the news originally came out about how Frostbite was going to be the new big engine for EA, and it wasn't going to be compatible with the Wii U for whatever reason. We were discussing whether that would be a technical reason or some sort of business reason. And just to really kick Nintendo while they're down, it's just so cruel.
Even all the other outlets out there have been kind of saying, like, you know, EA apologizes for classless slash, you know, not funny April Fool's joke. And, yeah. I don't know, it just, I like a good jab here and there against a company I really loved since I was a kid, but this one, it's just like, you know, it's one of those, like, where it goes a little too far.
Yeah, it's more so one of the ones where it's okay to kind of take the mick out of your own family, but if anyone outside of it was to do the same, then it wouldn't be taken so lightly. And I think it's a similar situation here, because we are not getting any sort of support currently from EA, or such small support, and definitely not from Frostbite, as it were. Just them to be making these jabs about Nintendo currently, it just gives you a really sour taste in your face.
Jeez.
Yeah. However, we end on a much more lighter note. And I think this is going to go down in potentially history of one of the better April Fool's jokes. And it's also, because it's not, in one way, it's a really big joke, in the other way, it's not. It's an actual thing. Which is, Google has released or revealed or announced, as it were, they are adding Pokemon to Google Maps. And not only are they doing that, you can catch them through mobile apps.
In the easiest way possible.
Yeah. At first, I thought this was just something that they went out and did on their own, but it's obviously just how involved it is in the reveal trailer and the fact that Nintendo's been tweeting about it today. This was obviously something which was in co-development with Nintendo, or at least was they were fully aware of and had, you know, signed off of. But now this is an awesome sort of April Fool's joke to pull. And it's also one you just get to actually use. I'm not sure how long it's going to be around for.
I think till the 2nd of April. I believe that's when it's still on there, because they gave a deadline where it's you had to catch like 150 Pokemon, which is not the original, but it's like a collection of basically, well, majority are there from the original 151, but there's also a collection from, like, you know, Generation 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, and so on and so forth. But I tried it out a little bit, and I already know a girl that I know has already, till yesterday, she'd caught 113.
So she was on her way to becoming a new Google employee.
Yes, in some ways like that. And I had to mention to her, whatever, it's like, yeah, I'm like a real-life Ash Ketchum. It's like, yeah, the thing is, Ash Ketchum only caught, like, around 40-ish Pokemon in the series. So, you know, Pokemon Master my behind on that one. So, you know, and I always found him to be a crap Pokemon trainer.
Yeah. But no, this was a really, really fun thing to hear about. And I hope Nintendo does more things like this. They don't need to keep it to be, you know, April Fool's jokes, but this behind the scenes was some substantial effort to partner directly with Google. It wasn't with just some off-brand Android developer. They went straight to Google to do this. And, you know, maybe we'll see more things like this just released as either apps or either just via mobile websites or so on and so forth. But now I think this is really cool.
We might see probably, what is it? I'm trying to think of a good one. Who knows? We might see, you know, Mario take over Gmail. You know, and or for instance, a Google Maps turns into basically the Legend of Zelda layout.
Yeah, actually, what's quite funny, you know, when the DSi came out and they had the DSiWare, and they was. For whatever reason, they were like selling these like digital clocks and digital calendars and digital like calculators, and like they'd be Mario themed or Animal Crossing themed or something. It's strange how they try to do all that, but they've not bothered to try and release those sort of things on smartphones, where it would make some sort of sense at least. I'm not sure who was buying the calculator on their the you know the Mario themed calculator on their DSi before. And, you know, whipping that out whenever they needed, and, you know, launching it. Whenever they needed a small calculation.
Guys, and you just get these odd looks at yourself, and you're like, I'm going to go back to playing this right now.
Yeah, just playing Pokemon or whatever you do on your DS. So, yeah, now we had some really good stories come out of April Fool. Keep calling it April Fool's.
The worst one I saw, or most obvious, painfully obvious one, was Facebook buys Nintendo for $16
billion. Oh, that one went by me. I didn't see that
one. Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, yeah, I don't see that happening.
So what was the apparent amount?
$16 billion.
$16
billion. With a B.
Yeah, well, that would have been their biggest acquisition, I believe. But yeah, still. So has there been any others that either of you have spotted today?
The ones that I got was... What was it? Optimus Prime joins Titanfall in probably the worst CGI'd or mock-up in the game I could probably think of. And it doesn't even look like that good of a version of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it doesn't really look much like Titanfall either.
No, it's
a weird mix of the two.
They, also, I think the guys behind... Lore in a minute. They did Flappy Bird lore. Thought that was a really good one in there. I'm going through them right now. Apple number one joins Mighty number nine. That was also a good one in there. And another good one is apparently BioWare was selling a Garrus pillow.
Oh yes.
Yes, it's just a large, you know, like two person, like, you know, like bed, king si- or a queen size length pillow with Garrus on it.
Oh, there's probably an audience for that as well.
I'm trying to think of the worst ones on here. There was the Virtual Boy VR thing. Or well, I'm trying to find that right now. I saw it today. Oh, yeah, it says Nintendo announces their own VR tech, Virtual U, which is just just Virtual Boy games redesigned.
She's saying that. Did anyone see the Way Forward one?
No, I did not.
It was in a similar vein, but I believe the virtual goggles would make, you would see things in, like, virtual retro vision, as if things were like a Way Forward 2D game. And they gave a brilliant example, which was poking fun at their own previous WiiWare game called Lit, which was a more realistic approach where you play this guy and he has a torch and you kind of go around these dark environments. And to be perfectly honest, I don't know much more about the game than that. But they had someone looking at that game, and what was in the person's mind was like this little chibi girl with this like flashlight and this really bright environment, and it just was like explosives of color and just like, you know, real beautiful sprites in the way that Way Forward can only do, really. So I think that pretty much covers all the various different April Fools gaming related stories, both Nintendo and beyond. And with that, we'll jump over to our community comment section. Okay, we have two comments for you today. Holly, would you like to read the first one out?
Sure. This comes from Carl on Miiverse. Do you have any ideas about how Nintendo could use Miiverse to strengthen the ties between users and, for example, media content producers such as Infendo or IGN?
Interesting question. Let's take this one for a bit. I'm trying to think of something like when it comes to that.
Yeah, sure. So I think the suggestion from Carl here is, how can Nintendo turn Miiverse into Twitter almost? Or maybe not in its entirety or ultimately, but what could Nintendo learn from things like Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook? And I think Nintendo has kind of taken their first step, which is giving an entire section purely for the approved or the verified users. And so you can now go onto Miiverse on your 3DS or your Wii U. You can click on like the verified users bit, and you'll just get like a constant, like Twitter-like stream of purely like official accounts and what they've got to say, which is going to be about, you know, a game they're working on or an update for a game or just news in general about an upcoming project or a property or so on and so forth. And that's a good first step. And I think what Nintendo could also do is let media content creators such as ourselves or the likes of IGN or Giant Bomb and so on to create Miiverse accounts and have them verified as media accounts. And Nintendo could be in complete control of it, and you could have, say, either just one account for a site or a couple of accounts for a site, and they could all go through a sort of verification process where they make sure you are who you are. But once that's all done, you can essentially post out Miiverse posts, and people will know you are the person you say you are. And then the next thing they would need to do is have some sort of like website plugin in place where you can just post a Miiverse, you know, right next to where sites have like the post to Twitter and the post to Facebook buttons. I think that's not out of the realms of possibility either. I mean, Nintendo's put a lot of, you know, smart decisions in place already. I mean, you can just browse Miiverse on your PC, you can browse it on your smartphone as well as the consoles, and so that's quite a lot more open than the competitors' platforms anyway, or not so much more open, but it's at least more accessible, and it seems like it's easier to access, at least in my opinion, in terms of a pure messaging platform. So yeah, I think there are things Nintendo could do, and I think some of them Nintendo actually do have in mind. I think that's something they do want to turn Miiverse into. They obviously don't want to change kind of, you know, the heart of it. there is going to be a place for gamers. They're not going to have people or websites just blatantly going in and advertising certain things. But I think they're going to be more flexible in the future.
This is, I mean, one thing with the Miiverse, though, is that I do find this is probably the best thing that Nintendo has out of the box for the Wii U. And even for those that don't own Wii U right now have seen the Miiverse in action, they really comment, like, you know, positively about it. I mean, generally, it is, think of it, it's like, yeah, it's Nintendo's own version of / Twitter / Facebook. And to actually spread this out more, to have, you know, like you said, like, if we had an Nintendo official, like, Miiverse account, or if you had the IGNs, Destructoids, Polygons, Kotaku, and so on and so forth. It's just, you know, I think it's a matter of, like, you know, Nintendo, yeah, like I said, they have to branch out to them and to actually allow them to do something like this. But it's not out of the realm possibility, yet it's, I think a couple things need to happen first, you know, like, video sharing content, for instance, which I know only verified users or Miiverse are allowed to do at the moment. And, you know, that could be fixed with, like, a simple system update. And I think we may see some of these things probably if it's, like, coming up in the near months, let's say in E3, like a big update to the OS or Miiverse. I mean, this is a thing that's not going to be set in stone so much that, you know, Nintendo's going to ignore it. They're obviously going to, you know, tweak this thing to make it a little bit better. I mean, remember when we had Miiverse, we can only post, what was it, like, under 100 characters? And now it's up to, yeah, it's up to, like, 200.
Yeah.
I mean, simple things like that. And it's, yeah, and but also, I mean, we have, I'm sure there's celebrities on there that have Wii U's. I mean, yeah, that those exist. I know, they do. I'm sure there's a celebrity out there who owns a Wii U, and if you do, please give us a shout-out if somehow you're listening to this. I'd love to add you. And yeah, I mean, getting those verified accounts out there all through there, aside from the people through Nintendo. But it's, as far as ideas, you know, I think I just, like, Lewis touched up a little bit more, well, all of it on there as far as adding all these embedded, like, you know, Miiverse buttons onto gaming websites. I mean, just gaming websites. I don't feel like a New York Times or a Post-Dispatch, my paper in St. Louis or something like that, would want a Miiverse icon on there. Unless they feel like they have a dedicated gaming blog, of course.
So yeah, I think Nintendo obviously has a little way to go on this, but I think it's something they are considering. But I think the best example we can point to is how they are giving developers their own verified accounts, and it is cool to see, especially with the indie developers, them to have this verified account where they can release official information directly to Nintendo users via Miiverse. I think that's an awesome system, and I don't think the competitive platforms have anything quite like that either. So I think that's something really unique Nintendo has, and it's something I think they're going to build upon as well.
So Sony does have that video sharing content on the PS4, which a friend of mine at work was happy to kind of, he first delved into it. Oh, well, never delved into it when he got his PS4 back in November. And his friends kept telling him, like, you know, you gotta see this. There's a lot of crazy stuff. And all he could tell me was, well, he told me straight up, was like, I hate reality television, but I found my new favorite form of reality television right now in the form of the PS4 video sharing, which quite a lot of not safe for work moments on there. Not be it when it comes to, I'm not saying like nudity or anything, like, or coarse language and stuff like that, but it's just, there's a lot of stuff on there. You just see people embarrassing themselves as far as, like, when they're playing games, if they're with their families or friends, and then it's just great to see it get banned, basically, in the next, like, few minutes.
So, yeah, is this the, was it the Twitch.tv integration?
Yeah, it is, and it's, oh boy, it's something else. If you can, just YouTube some of the stuff. It's nutty.
So, yeah, I don't think this is something Nintendo's going to get into, at least with the Wii U. Afraid to say it, but I think that's one of the things which does require a lot of background resources available to run that in addition to your game. And I don't think the setup of the Wii U currently would be able to handle that as it is. Now, I guess it would be possible to retool it to do that, but I don't think that's in Nintendo's interest. But what I do think is good is, what I was saying before is that, like, developers themselves have their verified accounts. I don't think that's something Now, I could be corrected here, that you could do on, say, the PS4. I don't think, like, say, Naughty Dog can come out directly and give messages to people. I think it still needs to go through the PlayStation Store as, like, just a, you know, as a game, as it were, and it can have a description. But I don't believe developers as entities have any way to communicate with their customers. I could be wrong. But what we do know is, of course, that Nintendo does have that facility on the Wii U, and that is a really cool thing.
Well, yeah, they have the resources to do that, even though they may not have the resources as or experience that they see with their competitors, but it is a start to get something like this moving, you know, to highlight the Miiverse a little bit more as far, like, just aside from a mobile and, well, just from a mobile and desktop site.
And on the conversation of Miiverse, I think what would be a smart move is currently on the say on the website or the smartphone version of the mobile website is that you can share things via Twitter or via Facebook and so on. And there's actually a whole bunch of different things. I think there's about half a dozen different services you can share your Miiverse posts to. But you can't do that directly from the Wii U or the 3DS. And I think it's an odd distinction. Because they both need the same network IDs, which you log into. So if they're happy with it being on one, then why not have it on both? So I would like to see that integration just integrated straight into the Wii U and 3DS. So if I you know, snap a cool picture while playing a game on the Wii U, not only can I share it with my Miiverse friends, I can then also, after I've done that, share it to people on Twitter or on Facebook. And it's going to hit a much wider audience, and it might get people interested in, you know, those platforms. Again, that might be something they're looking to down the road, and the fact it is on their website and their mobile site, then it suggests that they have some strategy in mind of that. But that is a really cool thing, and I hope that makes the jump across.
As do I.
Okay, I think we'll move on to our second question now. Actually, Holly, would you mind reading the second one also?
Oh, sure. This is from Risen Devil on our website, Infendo.com. Just out of curiosity, how many hours per night or day for weekends where you probably get more, or a week, so like how many hours per week or day or whatever, do you all get to actually spend playing video games? As a married father of two with a full-time job whose wife is a full-time student, and I'm prepping to start taking online classes myself, I'm lucky to get 30 minutes a night with maybe 2 hours on the weekend. I feel like I can never finish all the games coming out. Then again, I prefer games with many, many hours of gameplay. So
I'm the one who's the most guilty out of this, because if everybody who's listened to the podcast, there have been many instances where I haven't been playing a lot of games. I mean, I'm following up on the industry, but I'm just not there getting the time to play the games. I mean, right now, I work I work two part-time jobs. One in a restaurant, one as a news content aggregator at a advertising and marketing firm in St. Louis. I practically work every day, and like close to around 50, 55 hours a week. And I couldn't tell you the time where I just had a serious gaming session. I mean, that and coupled with the fact that I live with two other people who are just as serious, serious gamers as I am, you know, and they don't have the many hours that I have, so basically the days where both of us are kind of working at the same time, but when all of us are, you know, off on our off days, It comes to the fact that I'm playing, you know, it's sharing the TV. I don't have a TV in my room. Each of my roommates have TVs in their room. We only have one TV in the main living room. But it comes in handy with a Wii U, for instance, because, you know, I can just, somebody's playing, like my roommate's playing their PS4 or their Xbox One, just use the gamepad, whatever, to play on the gamepad solely. But, you know, there are times where I really want to see the full effect of, like, these Nintendo franchises in HD just on the TV. And it's for a while, I haven't really gotten to that point where I've been gaming a lot, but yet still following the industry. I mean, back in college, my days were basically after getting my homework done, or basically done, like, prepping for a test, like, an exam, is my downtime would be, you know, not necessarily going out, you know, my friends. I would be just sitting there just gaming for about a good, like, you know, on a binge for about, like, 4 or 5 hours. And since then, it just dropped off. But it's coming to the time where, you know, I'm trying to find time to play, but it's the fact that I'm, you know, while I have a part-time job at a restaurant, but also, you know, this other part-time job as a news aggregator, which is trying to help, you know, further my career as a journalist, you know, it's all my concentration's been on that. I mean, and the same thing can kind of dip into me as far as, you know, trying to post stories on Infendo. I mean, my content as far as posting on there has just dipped down so much, and I have Holly and Lewis, who I know both have so much busier schedules, like, has just as equally busier schedules as I do. You know, and then it's just all relied on them. You know, and I pass, like, stories to Holly through direct messages on Twitter. It's like, hey, can you do this? And I feel bad for it. And plus, I feel bad for not gaming as well because I can't finish all these games that I really want to do.
Well, I would, after listening to, you know, how much work that you have, I just have to say I probably don't have that much going on in my life. I've got one part-time job right now. No family. I mean, I live with my family, my parents, as in. So I'm pretty free. I'm kind of in that stage in my life where I'm like, I don't even know what I want to do. So I'm just kind of working and trying to decide what to do. And so I actually, as I was reading this question, well, after I read the question, I kind of reached over and grabbed my gamepad, which was close by, and was just looking at some of my play times. And I just kind of have to chuckle. Because it looks like I probably play games an average of maybe a couple of hours a day, especially with Monster Hunter. I mean, I'm looking at some of my Monster Hunter times, and there's like 7 hours one day, and it kind of gets insane. But then, you know, there's other days where I don't play at all, so it's kind of an interesting thing to look through my activity log. But I would say, yeah, if you count, like, weekends, just, like, for a whole week, I probably play, like, an average of 2 hours a day. In the weekends, I get a lot more time, but,
you see, like, you know. You mentioned weekends. I don't know what a weekend is anymore, because my days consist of working 9 to 5 on, you know, Friday, Saturday, and 9 in the morning to 11 at night each week. It is awful. It is awful to the point where I'm just, like, bunch of my friend, like my coworkers, like, so what have you been gaming on lately? He's like, I just finally picked up Batman Arkham Origins, but barely, you know. It's, they always keep asking, and it's like, why do you do this? Like, because I have no time to play. You know, it's very sad.
Yeah. I had something that just a thought run through my head, but it's kind of gone now. It ran away.
That tends to happen to a lot of us.
Yeah. But yeah. In general, I get a lot of time to play games, and my parents are perfectly fine. I mean, I pay a little bit of money to my parents for living here, but in general, they're okay with me living here, and so I'm able to make a fair amount of money, save up some, and pay some more on video games, and so that's actually kind of just a big time consumer in my life at the moment is video games. So, yeah, for those of you who are wondering why it seems like I play a lot more games than Harrison, that is the explanation right there.
Ding, ding, ding.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, I'm sure Harrison, there was a time in your life.
you're like my counselor. Whatever. It's like Harrison, I'm sure there was a time in your life that you knew what video games were. How was that back then? It's like, well, you know, I was a little kid and
I was happy.
I was a happy young lad back then.
But yeah, no, I've definitely had my gaming binges over the years. Recently, however, I think my games have kind of been more on the portable side of things, just because they're a little bit easier to kind of play here, play a bit there. But what I've been finding, not so much recently, but probably for the last almost 10 years or so, I have this weird balance of deciding what to do with my spare time in terms of playing games or making games. And it is quite bizarre because a lot of the time I find when I'm playing and really enjoying a game, I feel almost guilty that I've got this this project unfinished, which I could be working on, which I'm not. And so I usually, at some point, end that session and, you know, start doing the development work. And I mean, I don't have the numbers, but if I could pull out some sort of like 3DS or Wii U-esque time log of my time of making games and playing games, I reckon I'm spending a much larger amount of time sitting at a computer and coding games instead of playing, which is, you know, obviously a bit ironic. But I really can't complain too much. I mean, Harrison mentions the Wii U's kind of off-screen TV. It has really been a big boon in terms of getting like console playtime in, and it's not so much then if it's what I would rather do in terms of playing something or making something, but if Lucy, for example, wants to watch a TV show, there's something particularly she wants to watch, or there's something she just wants to play on, say, the PlayStation 3. If I'm in the mood to play games, I can also just I can do that on the Wii U if they were not doing playing something together. So it is really cool that the Wii U does offer that off TV play as well as, you know, just the regular HD experience. So yeah, I do have a weird mix. I think when a game really grabs me, like Bravely Default, and I should preface did, because I kind of have gone off it for a little bit, I was bringing that game into work so I could play it in my lunch breaks. I just go out in the car, drive out to the park, which is a couple minutes drive away, and, you know, wind down the window and play Bravely Default for an hour. And that worked out quite well. If it's something you want to do, you can always make the time. And it's cool that Nintendo is bringing these conveniences. I mean, we mentioned the ones for the Wii U, but for the 3DS as well. I mean, just the whole DS line itself, the fact you can just kind of close it shut at any point and it's just instantly in sleep mode. It's nice and concealed. And you can just resume to that at any point. That's really beneficial for, you know, grabbing some game time if you need it. And yeah, it's Nintendo experiences seem to be, I don't know, I think a lot of them are kind of really well suited towards that sort of thing as well, which is pretty cool. Again, I think there's a point I'm missing here, but it's not quite coming to me.
The fact that Harrison doesn't play a lot of games?
No, I was thinking it's like personal, but yeah, that could work.
Yeah, it's all, you know, our lifestyles, they differ, and maybe in a couple of years I'll be in Harrison's position and won't get any game time, so...
You do not want that position right now.
Well, I'll try to avoid it then. I'm trying to get a new, another part-time job right now, but fortunately, it won't require... Neither of these jobs will require me to work on Sundays at all, and so... At least that'll be nice, so... Mm-hmm. I'm doing alright, I guess.
Okay, and I think that nicely concludes that question, and the, I guess the show itself as well for tonight. Now, before we go, I would like to kind of leave almost a personal message to the listeners of Infendo Radio. I recently announced, if you wasn't aware, my own Kickstarter project, which is for a Wii U exclusive game called Twisted Fusion. It's a 2D open world game, and you play the role of a girl called Cora, and you fight the strange enemies of that world with dual water pistols and other water-based attacks, which you gain throughout the game. So the game itself is currently on Kickstarter. The goal I'm trying to get to after the 30 days, which it currently has been up for one day, is for £3,000, which is, in my opinion, pretty modest for a Wii U game. It's actually doing quite well so far. It's already passed a sixth of its total goal in its first day, with 46 backers. So if you're one of them, thank you tremendously. It means the absolute world to me. But if you hadn't heard of this project beforehand, if you could check out the project, it personally would mean a lot to me, and it also supports the Wii U and an indie developer. To find it, you just need to go to your search engine of choice, and if you type in Kickstarter Twisted Fusion, it will find it. Alternatively, if you have any questions or comments for us, you can send them to contact@infendo.com.
Also, we had mentioned, I'm sure there's a few of you out there right now who are on Twitter right now. The Infendo Twitter account obviously has been a bit, you know, dormant for like the last couple weeks. And I'm sure it's probably been about a month or so. We are doing everything in our power to get this fixed up right now. I feel like this is something that's just simple. It just, we, between the three of us, we do not have the username and password for this right now that our head of, like, the head of Infendo right now has not given us right now. I mean, not to blame him or anything about that, just, we're still working on it, and, you know, again, you can still follow us on Twitter for even most of the, like, the majority of our Nintendo news. Still trying to figure out, like, the little kinks behind this.
Yeah, we'll have it up and running soon. And with that, that is the end of the show, so thank you very much for listening. This has been Infendo Radio.
Ciao, guys.
See you guys.
See you.
We'll be right back.